This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the lead stories are Amazon Prime fail, AT&T and the power grab ahead, Skype version 8.0, and the Netflix earnings report is out. I want to welcome you to episode 1299 of the Geek News Central podcast for Monday, July 16th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. You can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. Hey, I want to give a warm, warm welcome to all the brand new listeners of the show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking us out for the very first time. We want you to get connected with the show. That's really the most important thing that you need to do. And really, it's pretty simple to do so. All you got to do is get over to geeknewscentral.com. Right there in the right-hand column of the website is a place for you to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, on Android, by email, on Google Podcasts, on Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, really any place that you want to listen to this show, you can. And you can just get it right there direct at geeknewscentral.com. So that's a place to go if you're a brand new listener. Of course, if you're an existing listener, welcome to episode 1299. We're one episode away from crossing over 1300. And I want to give all of the Ohana a very, very warm welcome. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family, being part of the Ohana. For those of you that don't know what Ohana means here in Hawaii, Ohana means family. I want to welcome you to the Geek News Central family. Of course, if you visit Geek News Central Daily, just keep an eye on the website. The writers over there are doing a great job. You can join our chat room. Our chat room is really the place to be at geeknews.chat. Of course, if you have comments on today's show, all you got to do is email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. If you want to follow along on Twitter, you can do that at Geek News. You can join our Slack channel, and our Slack channel is where all the cool kids hang out. Just send me an email and say you want to do that. You can follow me on Google Plus or Facebook just by searching for my name. Of course, you can watch the show on the Roku or on the Apple TV. And on the Roku, we're available via the Tech Podcast channel on Roku. Just add that and search for Geek News Central. Of course, the Apple TV, just search for Geek News Central. You watch the video version. You can listen on Stitcher or Blueberry.com. If you have a smart home device, you can listen with your Amazon Echo, your Google Home, or your Microsoft Cortana device. All you have to do is say the keyword to launch those devices and tell those devices to play the podcast, Geek News Central. Partner shows include The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, the Pro Gear site at ProGear.Guru, the New Media Show at NewMediaShow.com, and the Podcast Legends Show at PodcastLegends.com. Have gotten a few emails, including one from Kirk on considering doing a show here. And Kirk's got an interesting idea. So I'm going to let that percolate a little bit. I think that one's probably going to be a given for the network, but still looking for some other folks that want to join and be part of the family here. Of course, this show is sponsored by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. And you too can get in on the deals at GoDaddy. All you have to really do is go to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And this is really where you help the show in a big, big way. It doesn't matter if you are need a hosting account or domain. You probably know someone that's talking about putting a website up. And we want you to consider sharing my promo codes with your friends, family members, and people that you know. Because we've got some great deals, whether it be 30% off a new product purchase, whether it be a .com for 99 cents, whether it be our hosting deals are just out of sight with a $1 a month economy hosting with a free domain for the first year, or a $1 a month managed WordPress hosting for the first year, again, with a free domain. 12 bucks gets you in the door, gets you going, gets you set up for a whole year of hosting, a world-class service with our good friends over at GoDaddy. If you're a business owner, you want to look at that one-month free trial of GoDaddy website builder and your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. All the codes are on the website. They start with CJC, GNC30 for the 30% off code, CJC, GNC99 for the 99-cent deal, CJCGNC1HS for the 1 month economy hosting, CJCGNCWP1 for that WordPress hosting, or CJCGNC free for the GoDaddy website builder service. If you don't remember those codes, don't forget, you can come over to GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy, grab the code or just click it and lock it in. Click it and lock it in, or when you get to the checkout counter at GoDaddy, apply the promo code that's going to save you the most money. And make sure you tell friends just to look at that, look at the, sometimes what they'll do when you use the code or when you click on the link, they'll want you to sign up for 3 years. You don't have to do that. Change it to 1 year, and you'll notice that the price will change down to that $12 price. And of course, I always tell folks, do just a little research, because they're going to offer that free domain to you. So you kind of want to have thought a little bit about that domain that you're going to pick out for your website. So just, kind of do a little bit of pre-planning, and don't waste no time though. When you get that domain figured out, make the jump immediately and pick up that hosting account, and then get that free domain as well with the dollar a month hosting. It's really a fantastic deal. And the tools and services and the dashboard over there are fantastic. So I want to thank our good friends over at GoDaddy for their continued support here of the show. It is greatly appreciated. You, if you don't have a friend or family member or someone you know that's looking for a hosting account, you definitely want to link to my webpage, either whether it be Facebook, on Twitter, on your own website, link to it and throw me a shout out. I definitely appreciate it when you do that. That helps the show just as well as supporting it by telling a friend, okay? So definitely link that up in on your social media sites, and you do a lot when you help Geek News Central this way, because every dollar that comes into the show is used to keep the lights on, keep the family fed, keep the insurance paid, gas in the car, and keep things moving here at the household. So, and our team as well. So I want to thank all of you for your continued support over at GoDaddy.com. I want to reach over here. I think my audio is up a little bit. And I'm not quite sure. I just tweaked it just a little. I don't know why it's so hot. I haven't done anything different here, but it is tonight a little bit on the I can tell by looking at the meters on my recording systems. When it gets over a certain point, I'm like, that doesn't look right. So anyway, what's been happening since the last show? It's really, it's the peak of summer throughout America and in many places in the world, at least in the Northern Hemisphere. And here in Hawaii is no different. It's hot. The trade winds have been okay, but it's been muggy. And so it's, you guys know we live on top of we're like 3,000 feet above sea level. I don't run any AC in the house. So I've had a few crisp, I guess for better words, balmy nights. Is that the right word to use? Anyway, hot and sticky nights, I guess, are the best way for it. So, and then lots of stuff, planning for podcast movement. I was working on my presentation. Matter of fact, I've got it open on the desktop. I'm about 30 slides into modifying about a 60 slide deck that I have to get done in about 40 minutes. So, that'll be the goal over the next couple of days, plus getting packed and then preparing for episode 1300. It's kind of weird. We've had so many of these big milestones for the show that hitting 1300 to me is kind of like, I don't know. I'm not like jumping out of my skin about it. I'm nice to see that we're hitting the milestone. Of course, Kirk helping when I'm on travel, putting the show together has always been fantastic as well. And in fact, Kirk sent me a message in Slack. He said, in celebrating a 1300th episode on Thursday, I would be happy to throw out to the listeners an Amazon gift card, nothing to do with Prime Day, for a listener or two that sends an email about a crazy or weird article from the past year. Like, for example, about the story in Japan where you can purchase bath salts that smell like fried chicken, or there is the burger robot startup. I think one of these things that are in my top 10 is this from February. So obviously we just gave you two ideas. So Kirk is basically offering up an Amazon gift card. I'm not asking him to do that. I appreciate that he's doing so. I'll leave it up to him, to his prerogative, but you have to send in an email to geeknews@gmail.com and tell us what has been one of the weirdest, crazy stories that has come across this show to you in the past year. And he's going to hook a couple of listeners up, I guess, with some gift cards. He doesn't say how much. Be happy with what you get. So I've kind of made it a policy here to try not to be giving away a lot of money or prizes, but I do have a couple of items here that have come in over the last few months, review items, that type of stuff. So I'll throw those into the pile as well. So if you've got some comments about the past year, anything that struck you funny or a story that I even told, drop a line here and we'll get you, we'll read those entries at the beginning of the show, kind of in this segment standpoint, and then get into the content. But I'm just trying to think about, you know, should I do the traditional rundown? I know one thing that we haven't done in a long time is we haven't talked about the insiders. We're definitely going to talk about that on episode 1300. It's been a while since I recognized those folks. We're going to go through those names and thank those folks. So it's important. And if you're not an insider, that, believe it or not, that monthly contribution that listeners are making to the show is like super, super important. It's gotten to the point where we're building up a base where we're actually covering some of the expenses on the website by those donations. So really want folks to consider becoming an insider. Again, it starts at $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month. And we've gotten some one-time donations recently. We appreciate all those that come in. It really goes a long way to helping me continue to do what we do here and continue moving the bar forward. Made some hard decisions this week. I talked with Don Bain. And matter of fact, you guys are finding this out before anyone else is. We were pushing for a platform at the Consumer Electronics Show this year. And we've been back and forth with them a little bit. And the location and the design of the platform they were willing to hook up to us just isn't going to work. And we just can't see how we're going to shoehorn a studio into where they're at. And we're going back to them asking for something a little different. But what I'm expecting for CES this year is, I wouldn't say a slowdown, but we're going to change things up again. It seems to be that I put a lot of effort into that event. And at this point, the amount of return that I'm getting out of the event is becoming less and less. And I have to figure out, and you know, we've already cut expenses way, way down, a considerable amount. But I'm at a point where I just got to look at this from a little different perspective. And while we like to go bigger and better and really ramp it up and do the things that we've done, if we can't get a good underwriting and the return from the people that we interview is not paying off in spades anymore, then I really got to, you know, do I throw good money after bad? The content, we still love doing the content. So I'm looking at this purely from a financial standpoint and what I get, what I put out and what I get back. It still is valuable, but I want to change really kind of the way I'm approaching the coverage there. And maybe instead of doing such a large quantity, maybe lower the quantity and go after more quality interviews and we try to, you know, do that, but sometimes it's just boom, 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 boom. We're knocking the interviews out, and to what end and to what value and what is the return back to us. So anyway, we're going to look at that hard through the year. I actually told Kirk to hold off booking his airline ticket. I'm sure I'm going to still follow through and have him come out and assist, but there's going to be some changes, and I haven't fully thought that through at this point. So I just kind of wanted to tell you guys tonight a little bit about that as we move into the really what I kind of consider we're full into the second part of the year. And as I'm looking out towards December and what we're going to do there. So anyway, that's it for that. And then I'll keep you informed on what's going on. I'd like to hear you guys' feedback too. You know, what's your impression been on the event and the content? Because I really, you know, I'm just, if I'm giving you guys value and you telling me that the value and the content is good, that would be some justification as well to continue the investment in doing the show as we have in the past. Otherwise, I'm going to really roll back and we're going to go into a different type of interview process, maybe not even do live, you know, maybe just do interviews, schedule some interviews and not worry about the live component, which has given me literally so many headaches over the past 4 or 5 years and the streams and some of that stuff and the scheduling time and everything that goes into it. So anyway, love to hear you guys' feedback on CES and the content that I've brought you over the past couple of years and whether you will miss it if we throttle it back. Okay, so get into the regular content. I'm already long chit-chatting here. Attended a geek meetup. That was kind of cool. Again, doing the getting ready for the event, and then took some time, just some downtime to read a book and get a little sci-fi reading in. And it's just good to do a little bit of a continued disconnect because I'm just, you know, I'm continuing to be always crushed. Nothing changes there. You guys already know that. So, but anyway, hey, Rita, thanks. Thanks for joining in, Jeremy. Thanks. Oh, Jeremy, you said your 12-year-old son loves your Minions cup. Yes, yes. And actually, Jeremy, look at this. Here's another one. Here, oh, it's dripping water on my switcher. I better be careful. So, yes, I have 2 Minion cups. So, there's a little pun there. And reason I have Minions here. So, let me know if you kind of figure out the pun of the Minions. All right. So let me go ahead and get into the stack. And before I get that, I am way, 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 way off track on the gym situation. And it's not all been my fault. So yes, yes, I know. I've got to get back in there. I'm stepping on the scales and I'm watching it and a couple of pounds up creep and I'm just freaking out. So, this week, hopefully I'll be back in. Next week's going to be impossible, but it is what it is. But let's talk about today, what's happening in the tech world today. Amazon suffered a glitch at the start of the Prime Day, not just at the start. I was busy. Literally, you know, today's, I woke up at 3:45 Hawaiian time this morning. I was on the phone at 4 a.m. my time we're going through our IAB podcast certification. I had the auditors on the phone for 2 hours. I'm waking up again at 3:45 a.m. tomorrow for 2 more hours than that. So
something went wrong. Try back soon.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for telling me that there, Cortana. So anyway, it was just all day busy. And finally, about 9 p.m. Eastern, which was already 6 hours into Prime Day, I go on Amazon because one of my friends sent me a Slack link, said, check this deal out. And I couldn't get anything to load. I kept getting the dog or whatever it is. And I just sit and I was like, really? 6 hours into Prime Day, and I had kind of heard some rumors on some, you know, been following social media a little bit, but they had some major, major, major issues at the beginning. And my daughter sent over a link to, hey, this is the baby seat we want. No, the car seat we want. This is, and it's 20% off. So I'll probably get that clicked through after the show's ending up tonight, get that to her. But in the beginning, it just wasn't working. You know, Prime wasn't working. So they got hammered. Stock got hammered and everything. They were off about 1% in after hours training. So we'll see where it ends up. But at the beginning, it just, and the front page still wasn't hardly loading very good for quite a while. But did you catch anything on Prime? Did you get some deals? I got one deal already today. Okay. Also, I want to talk about this article on The Verge talking about AT&T. And the headline of this caught me by surprise. It said how AT&T's plan to become the new Facebook could be a privacy nightmare. And the subtitle of this is Unchecked Power of Telecom Giants That Want to Compete with Tech Companies Create a Perfect Storm for Privacy Violations. So the crux of this, because I thought they're going to do a Facebook competitor, and it's not really. But for it, according to The Verge, is saying for years, the AT&T and its primary competitor Verizon have looked green-eyed at the ballooning advertising revenues in Silicon Valley. Combined, Facebook and Google control more than half of the $88 billion in digital advertising market in the United States, and both account for around 90% of its growth. Digital advertising now surpasses TV advertising as the largest sector of the market. Telecoms don't see these companies' domination of digital media, social networking, and search as an existential threat. Facebook and Google dabbled in becoming internet service providers, and they both control global distribution communication networks. Entities like AT&T also see digital advertising as a lucrative and untapped market. So now with its acquisition of Time Warner closed, AT&T is better poised than most other telecommunication giants in the United States to really compete with Silicon Valley for the advertising crown. Now, the question remains is whether a company like AT&T can reasonably compete with some of the world's most powerful tech platforms. But if you think about this, AT&T owns an internet service provider, a cellular service provider, and a satellite cable TV provider, after its acquisition of DirecTV. Now, putting aside the Justice Department's appeal, the company owns Time Warner Media properties, which includes CNN, HBO. AT&T controls a programmatic advertising network called AppNexus. You know, if you look at Verizon, who owns remnants of Yahoo and AOL, I don't know if that's worth that much. Under the Oath brand, in addition to its own phone business, ISP and cable platform, every one of these business and media properties provides AT&T and Verizon with a built-in data set and means to help companies target its target ads at us. When asked about the acquisition of Time Warner at the RE Code conference earlier this year, AT&T CEO Randall Stephenson put it plainly, AT&T has an amazing amount of data. But yet this company didn't have a very targeted advertising approach. He says tapping into customers' insights from media properties in combination with this telecom business could be the key. I believe you don't create a pure vertically integrated capability from distribution all the way through content creation advertising models, you're going to have our time competing with these guys, referring to Silicon Valley. So AT&T is well suited to build profiles of us that it then can sell targeted advertising. If you're an AT&T cellular customer, the company already has access to real-time location data, mobile browsing activity, and other lucrative personal information. It can cross-reference that data with information you provide the company when you sign up for its service, along with information it may be able to gain from your viewing habits if you subscribe to DirecTV. And then, of course, Time Warner added to the pile will only further increase the knowledge AT&T has about what types of entertainment its customers like to watch. And with the net neutrality stuff gone or not enacted, this could be the opening that they've been looking for. So, these verticals and pipes that these companies provide are very lucrative. Now, luckily, AT&T and Verizon aren't the ones building search engines at this point, but Verizon has been known from time to time to reroute you to a Verizon search engine. So we'll see what happens here. But AT&T's got a lot of power. And so, you know, this headline that they could become the new Facebook is not, well, in the essence of having data to sell against you. All these interconnected pieces. You know, one thing is that I understand the value of data. Big data has big value, you know, and gives you big insights into the space. I have access to big data on the podcasting space and how media is being consumed and what apps are leading or not. You know, we make a lot of that information public and we don't use that to market towards the listeners either, but some companies are. But I can see where these data streams can end up being very valuable, almost more valuable than anything else. So what do you guys think? Do you think AT&T has too much power now that they've gained all this, all these properties? Does it make you nervous? You know, AT&T is not the only one doing it. You know, at one time back in the day, AT&T was broke up, you know, and it ultimately made them more powerful in the end. So it's interesting to see how the space has evolved. And the internet is key to all of this. Skype 8.0 is launched on desktop with an HD video and soon encryption and call recording. Skype's redesign launched last year, and it was met with mixed reviews. But the company is forging ahead by rolling out a number of new features to other platforms, including the desktop. Microsoft today is launching Skype 8 that will replace version 7. Lovely. I don't know if my Mac machines are going to get 8 right away or not. But 7 is going to stop functioning on September 1st. The new release introduces a variety of features, including HD video and screen sharing and calls, support and mentions in chats, a chat media gallery, and media sharing up to 300 megs and more. So all I care about is the stupid thing works. So be on the lookout there for Skype 8.0. I'm still a big fan of Skype, but every version seems to cause more troubles. And we're on the new Mac Mini on the bottom machine down there, and you can tell a huge performance difference. You know, 7 years difference in machine age. So the top machine's just fine, but we'll see what happens when we update to 8.0, what the performance is. Hopefully it won't be a big hit because I don't want to buy another computer. I really don't. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal talking about Netflix's earnings report. It's weaker than expected, specifically in a number of new subscribers. They fell short by a million subscribers, new subscribers. Netflix blamed its subscriber miss on faulty internal forecasting and not in business reasons like recent price increases. The company has had such guidance problems in the past, missing forecasts 3 times the past 10 quarters and causing their stock to up and down. On a video interview to discuss earnings, Chief Executive Reed Hastings said, "We've seen this movie before regarding missed targets." He said Netflix executives never quite figured out why they similarly missed a quarterly forecast 2 years ago. He says there's a lumpiness in business, he said, and the miss doesn't affect his optimism for the business. In the second quarter, the company added 4.47 million international customers short of its guidance of 5, so short of about 530,000, and 670,000 streaming customers in the United States below its estimates of 1.2 million. So a little bit over 1.1 million it was short on. And the company forecasts adding 5 million users for the current third quarter, well below analyst expectations of 6.3. Overall, Netflix has 130 million total members globally, making it a media superpower. Netflix said money that anticipates more competition, but believes there's room for multiple parties. And I spent some time. I think where the missed opportunity is that on Prime, I get a lot of interference. I'm finding more movies and more content on Netflix than I'm finding on Prime. And be honest with you, I'm not real happy right now with the digital offerings I'm getting on both services. I'm finding the content kind of bleh. Nothing that's really catching my interest. I watch 15, 20, 30 minutes of a new series and not be engaged at all. So I'm having challenges finding some cool content. And maybe it's just me. Maybe it's the way it's looking. Maybe I need to clear my profile and come in fresh and maybe that'll help me out. But really, I've asked you guys in the past, what are you guys watching on Netflix? What's making you go, whoa? You know, and I'm a big sci-fi fan, and there's just a total lack of any, and I have a couple of like almost B-rated stuff I get into. I'm like, oh, this is horrible. You know, I guess maybe too, I'm jaded a little bit in that I read a lot of sci-fi books, Space Odyssey, that type of stuff. And I really like those kinds of series. I think largely because I'm a geek and I've always dreamed that we would go somewhere beyond, right? Discover something new, a new, you know, new beings or whatever it may be, finding ET up there. And the consequences of that are they eat us or we eat them or, we, you know, whatever happens there. But so I'm really, I like those types of books a lot. And I have a couple of authors that I just crave for their new offerings. But, you know, one of the challenges I have is that these series, these 4, 5, 6, 7 book series in these sci-fi series, I lose track and the new book comes out. And there has to be, I'm using Goodreads, but there has to be a better way to track the series that you've read and new stuff that's coming out. So you don't like 2 years from now go, oh, you know, it's how you guys do that. How you guys, if you read series, how are you, and you read a lot of different series, how are you keeping track? I'm almost thinking I need to start a spreadsheet or something. But anyway, going back to Netflix, maybe that's why I'm jaded, because I'm reading all these great books and it doesn't translate to television. But there's some stuff, maybe I'm bored with some of these offerings. And maybe it's just time to cut all these services out for a while and take a break. Rita says more than likely they are C-grade movies. Well, yeah, that is fantastic. There are some great C stuff out there that I think I could have produced and done a better storyline myself, Rita, be honest with you. How many of you guys know about Instapaper? Instapaper is no longer part of Pinterest. The service is going independent. So the bookmarking service Instapaper now said that it will once again be an independent operation. Instapaper allows you to save articles for offline reading, even lets you send text to Kindles for reading on dedicated e-ink readers. You can also bookmark media, including videos, and organize saved material in folders. I don't think I really ever used Instapaper at all. So maybe that's one of the reasons why. Because I'm a big, again, we're talking about Roku, but Roku wants to make your smart TV sound better with its new wireless speakers. These are coming on the market soon. And they've been known, obviously, for their set-top boxes. And they're rolling out companion speakers, part of the Roku Connect platform. And what's going to be the price on these? Probably about $2, I would think. And they kind of have that Roku type of look. And let me see, do they have a price? No, they don't. But it's part of the Danish, part of the acquisition of the Danish audio startup Dynastorm. So this is coming out of that group. So expect these to come out and be linked to your device. And, so probably I would expect probably around $200, but, time will tell where the pricing is going to come down on this for sure. All right. And this is a, article that you may not need use of, but how many of you had challenges with your Apple ID? Well, there's a FAQ out, 10 most answered issues and questions answered about your Apple ID. I've got an Apple ID out there that I can't recover. In the early days of iTunes, when we were submitting podcasts, I used geeknews@gmail.com. And then that got submitted into the system. And then ultimately I have a different domain address for my actual Apple ID account. And I've never been able to get, Apple says that account doesn't exist, but yet I know it exists somewhere in their ecosystem. But have any of you got any ghost Apple IDs out there? I do. I wish I had a few more connections inside the Apple group. Financial regulators that turn watchful eye on cryptocurrency market. And we talked about this on the last shows, where that a lot of these ICOs, initial coin offerings, are failing. So the feds are really starting to take a look at this. Global financial regulators are starting to keep a close eye. And the framework was established to allow the Financial Stability Board, which helps G20 countries coordinate policy to catch stability risk early. And Reuters highlights the volatility of cryptocurrency. Oh, what's that? Huh. Reuters highlights. Did you guys hear that in the show? Sound like a ringing. Bell ringing almost. That's weird. Anyway, if you didn't hear it, I did. So I'm a little freaked out about it. Reuters highlights the volatility of cryptocurrency prices and the fact that startups have been issuing new digital currencies via ICOs. And all of those are failing. You know, last week, Chinese police shut down a World Cup gambling ring that was hosting $1.5 billion in cryptocurrency bets. The bust came after the country banned ICOs last September. So that's huge. And of course, the market continues to develop elsewhere. CNET checked out the Siren Fini, one of the first blockchain phones last week. It boasts a hidden pop-up screen for cryptocurrency security. I guess we didn't cover that. Link will be in the show notes. But anyways, I think we're going to see more regulation and crackdown. How many are using Android TV? Have you looked at live channels? Live channels may be something that you're missing on an Android TV. And some folks are saying the Android TV, that live channels piece, is really something that is a lot more functional than what you may be aware of. And what live channels is one of those apps that attempts to aggregate multiple sources of video in one place. And it does it pretty well, I guess. So if you have an Android TV, look at the live channels function. And I'll definitely have to do that myself. Comcast is reporting that they will not try to stop Disney's $71.3 billion bid for Fox. So Comcast is going to go after UK's Sky Television instead. So those of you in the UK, Comcast, American companies coming after one of yours. And Disney looks like is going to go and potentially get Fox Entertainment's assets. So let me see what else is here. 21st Century Fox, home to popular franchises like X-Men, Deadpool, Ice Age, and The Simpsons, agreed to Disney's bid of $71.3 billion in June, rejecting Comcast's $65 billion offer. Around the same time, Comcast bid against Fox for Sky Television. Earlier this month, Fox offered $32 billion for Sky before Comcast raised its offer for Sky to $34. Fox already owns 40% of Sky and had been attempting to take full control. So this is curious. We'll see where this ends up. The battle for the content pipes, folks. That's what it's all about. All right, with Amazon Prime going on, what do you pick? The Amazon Fire TV sticks versus the Fire TV 4K versus the Fire TV Cube. I'll be honest with you. I have a Fire TV stick. Works perfect. Really, really does. In the house, I have and that's what I travel with. I travel with a Fire TV stick. And then in the house, I have a Fire TV. It's not the 4K version because I use that in my bedroom where it's not a 4K television. But the cube is another option as well. So really the difference in price is really kind of where it lays down. The Fire TV Stick's $39. The Fire TV Gen 3 is at $69. And the Fire TV Cube is at $119. The prior to the two offerings there are both 4K. And I guess a lot of it has to do with storage, and the RAM is about the same. Does have well, it's really the difference between the $69 version and the $119 version is limited. But anyway, if you're trying to decide which one to buy during the Prime Day, definitely link will be up in the show notes for you. Always looking for playlist. I'm at this point now where sometimes just a little music is good. And the folks over at MakeUseOf.com have the 15 best Spotify playlists for the summer, whether it be a summer party, the United States Top 50, New Music Friday, summer acoustics for a little, you know, like Friday afternoon, or if you're having a poolside party, if you're doing some driving, some driving rock, some very, very cool playlists. So link is up in the show notes there. If you're a Spotify fan, you can link those up and hook it up. Rolls Royce is coming out with the eVTOL, E-V-T-O-L, flying taxi. It's a concept that packs electric propulsion. But what's cool about this is its electrical system gets juice from an onboard gas turbine, kind of like the Chevy Volt. So I like this idea a lot in retrospect, that you basically got fuel powering the electric motors, and you're not relying completely on the battery. So Rolls-Royce, well known in the motor space. You know, if you're riding around in a 777, you're more than likely you're being pushed there via Rolls-Royce motors. And maybe I'll be corrected here on the show, but I'm pretty sure that's Rolls-Royce is what's powering the 777 and many other aircraft. But at the Farnborough Air Show on Monday, Rolls-Royce debuted its eVTOL concept in digital form. eVTOL stands for Electric Vertical Takeoff and Landing, and it's basically a flying taxi relying on Rolls-Royce's new propulsion system, which mates electric propulsion to a more traditional method of charging it. Packing around 500 kilowatts of power, the eVTOL concept relies on 6 rotors to provide vertical and horizontal propulsion. The concept gets its electric power from an M250 gas turbine, which means it can rely on traditional fueling infrastructure, airports, to make sure that it has enough juice. It can fly at about 250 miles per hour, which is really incredible. And what's the range on this thing? The concept vehicle can hold between 4 and 5 adults. And so they're not going to be doing a VTOL aircraft. This is more to show off the propulsion system itself and what they've designed. So pretty slick stuff here. And there's a very, very cool video to go along with it that you aviation buffs are just going to absolutely love. Another interesting design, and this is going to be well out of the price range for at least everyone, I think, that's listening to the show. And if you actually can afford this vehicle and you're listening to the show, you need to pony up and write a big check for your geek here at Geek New Insider. But the Pininfarina is developing a $2 million all-electrical hypercar. Several car manufacturers are working on new hypercars that will prove that high-performance cars can be all-electric. Pininfarina is an Italian brand best known for designing Ferraris. And automobile Pininfarina is a spinoff of the iconic design house. And it's now released some teasers of what they're calling the PFO. And it's a design vehicle that, and again, these are just graphic drawings of what this is going to look like. But they're coming up with an electric car that will go 250 miles per hour, go 300 miles on a single charge, that will take 10 to 15 minutes to charge, but it'll set you back a cool $2 million. That's why I said, if you can afford this vehicle, definitely make a contribution here when it comes to the Geek News Central. Rita, you heard the beep too? It was weird, wasn't it? I don't know what that was. It really was odd. It really, really was. Okay. You ever forget where you saved a file? It's usually because I've named it something stupid. That's my problem. You know, it depends. Doesn't matter if you're on a Mac or if you're PC or if you're in Google Docs. Word saves me sometimes because I can look in the recent docs and find what I've edited. You can also use a search, Windows search with a partial name. If it's an actual doc, a Windows doc, you can actually in Windows search for words that are in the doc, and you'll sometimes get lucky there. You can definitely search by extension, whether DOC or DCOX or XLS or XLSX, whatever it turns out to be. You can search by modified date. I've done that before when I've dumped something in a folder in a hard drive and I'm like, where did I stick it? So I'll go in and actually search by modification date within the last 7 days. And I'll look at a specific drive. You know, it's really a challenge to keep files organized correctly. Stuff ends up all over the place. I've gotten better over the years in making sure I save stuff in certain places, but I lose stuff all the time. So this is a good prepper if you're on Windows on how to find files that you've lost. And then definitely the link, as always, will be in the show notes here. All right, how many of you are doing prepaid wireless plans? There's a good review here on CNET talking about the best plans for 2018 from US Cellular, TracFone, Freedom Pop, and more. I'm going to talk about Freedom Pop a little bit. I'm not a big fan of Freedom Pop, especially on their MiFi devices. Just not happy at all with the quality of the connection on those. I've tried it in the past. Maybe it's gotten better. I don't know, but not real, real impressed with that. But it goes down to talking about, they've got a full list here. C Spire, Freedom Pop, Leica Mobile, Net10, Pure Talk, US Cellular, a whole bunch of. And these are all price plans and what you get and 4G allowance and all that stuff. So I'll have this up for you to take a peek at. And maybe it's time for you to move off of some prepaid wireless plan you're on now, like Virgin Mobile or so forth, and move to one of these plans. So definitely check out the comparisons. At the same time, Project Fi, you remember Project Fi by Google? You know, this is really, really slick in the micro SD card, not the SD, but the SIM card they give you works across multiple carriers. Of course, you have to have a specific phone that will work with it. There is a $300 credit when you order the G7 or V35 Project Fi capable phones. So those are on sale right now. Of course, LG G7 is also available for pre-order. But, you know, the thing to remember about Project Fi is that if you have one of these phones with one of these SIMs in it, your phone will intelligently switch between the carrier and pick the best carrier. And for $20 a month for unlimited talk and texting, that's a great deal, and a flat rate of $10 per gig, where you top out at 6 gigs. If you use more than 6 gigs of data, your bill will never be higher than $80. But most of you probably won't use that much data. You might use 3 or 4 gigs. So you might get out for having a phone that'll use all three networks, and you basically get a pretty good plan here. So unlike most other prepaid carriers, Project Fi is available for just a handful of phones: the Google Pixel 2 XL, the Pixel 2, the Moto X4, the Pixel XL, the Pixel, Nexus 6P, and Nexus 5X. And you can also use a data-only SIM card with any tablet that supports the T-Mobile network. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on that. Might be something for you to look at if you're looking to make a change out there, okay? Do you have a Windows laptop that's seen better days? I've got a few around here. Have you ever considered converting that to a Chromebook? Well, you can. Chromebooks are wonderful schools, or for maybe you're trying to put somebody in the house and having limited functionality. So use some of your machines that are a little bit longer in the tooth. You don't need as much power to run them. So definitely check out Chrome OS to convert an old Windows machine to the operating system. Get a little more life out of that machine before you decide to recycle it. You know, Legos, matter of fact, we've got a whole bunch of Legos for sale. We finally the kids have outgrown them. And I'm telling you, from all the years of collecting Legos, my kids have an incredible Legos collection. And we're trying to price out what the collection is worth. And I told the kids, figure out what you've got. Come up with some numbers. Don't get too greedy. We want to move it. Give someone else the opportunity to use these Legos for as many years as you guys did. So they're kind of getting that together, and we'll probably put it up on Craigslist or something. But there's a new tool out that allows your kids to build Lego models digitally and then buy their own creations. So it actually allows you, it's called LeoCAD, and it's a computer-aided design software that's designed to allow new users to be creating without spending too much time learning a new application. They start with a blank base, and then they design, and what I like about this, what I think is so cool about this, is if you have a really creative kid, gives them the opportunity to really do some almost entry-level CAD work, to think in multiple dimensions. And I think this is really, really smart what they've done here. And you can, there's a couple of ways you can purchase the necessary Lego bricks after your builder creates the virtual model. You can search them directly on the Lego website, or you can, LeoCAD can export an XML file that you can port to Brinklink. It's a Lego marketplace, and you can start shopping from there, or use only order what you don't need, or only order what you need, the specialty parts. So I think this is really, 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 really slick. So I'll link it up in the show notes. Check this out. All right. Okay. Ever got to the airport and really got confused on where you needed to be and where, and gate changes and all this stuff? Personally, I haven't had this happen, but I could see this happening to older people. There's a new robot that wants to make air travel less stressful. KLM Royal Dutch Airlines has a robot that's going to be launching in select airports this summer. So if you have some elderly people that are flying, the robot CareE will meet you at security checkpoint, take you wherever you need to go with your carry-on luggage on its back. To start your trip with your robot, it will prompt you to scan your boarding pass. Through nonverbal sounds and cues on its screens, KLM will launch the device at New York JFK and San Francisco International Airports before the company decides if it will provide the service elsewhere. The CareE device moves at about 3 miles per hour. So if you're running late and need to dash to the terminal to catch your flight, this may not be the item to do. But here's the thing. I think this is perfect for elderly. For folks that don't fly very often, helps them get to the gate where they need to be. They don't have to be confused. It lowers the stress level of flying for elderly people. I think this is really slick. Or maybe you've got a teenager that is finally able to fly alone. You can always go to the gate with your teenager. You guys know that, right? I got kids of the age that they can fly point to point, no problem. Chris in another year will be able to multi-hop, and he's been flying for many years, so we won't have a problem with that. But this is kind of cool what KLM's doing here. So we'll see where this moves and if it gets adopted other place. There's a good video, 4-minute video from The Verge talking about MoviePass and how it's being used to ruin the movies. I think this guy's off base. But I do like one thing that I found out. AMC, which we don't have AMC theaters here in Hawaii, has started a $20 a month plan similar to MoviePass. You get to watch 3 movies a week in any of their theaters at AMC. So if you have a lot of AMC movie theaters around your area, you may want to look at their $20 a month plan. Really, all you got to do is go to 2 movies to still save yourself a lot of money. But you got to make sure you go, right? So this is an interesting perspective on MoviePass for you to check out. Graphics cards. Well, there's a graphics card for every budget. And the folks at Extreme Tech have a good rundown. So if you got a machine that's getting a little long in the tooth, or you want to make an upgrade to like a GTX 1070 or 1080 card, or you're looking for something a little less power, or you're trying to figure out where your budget's going to lay, definitely look at this. I've got a, matter of fact, I have a GTX 1080. Anybody need a GTX 1080 card? Do you need one? I'll make you a deal on a 1080. Make me an offer I can't refuse. Less than 10 hours of operation time. I've got a 1080. I'll sell you. It's in the box. A GTX 1080 card retails for $499. Make me a deal I can't refuse, and it's yours. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes on these graphics cards. And I've got one to sell. And matter of fact, that just reminds me, if you guys don't want to buy it, I'm going to put it on Craigslist. Over on the Christian Science Monitor, I can't remember ever having an article from this publication, but csmonitor.com has an article about how Snoopy is firing up kids to shoot for the moon. At NASA, they're not just looking up to the stars, they're looking to the future for rising talent, and now they're asking help, and they're asking Snoopy to do that again. Step aside Buzz Lightyear, America's favorite flop-eared beagle, has earned an official spot aboard NASA rockets. Snoopy once first shot for the stars as a mascot with the Apollo lunar mission in the 1960s, returned to partner with the space organization. But this time, his mission will be Earth-focused. He'll be promoting space exploration and STEM education among kids. So, very, very cool. So, some stats on STEM and so forth. And here talks about how they're promoting that. So, link will be for you to, if you get kids in school, this might be a program for your kids to get interested in. Or Amazon warehouse workers are striking across Europe on Prime Day. Employees in Germany and Spain and Poland are protesting poor working conditions. So they're basically doing a strike because of frozen salaries and reduced medical leave and a whole bunch of other things. So the message is clear. While the online giant gets rich, it's saving money on the health of its workers. Stephanie Nutzenberger, a top official for the retail workers at German trade union Verdi, told NBC, Germany's strike will last one day, although Amazon claims it will not impact its ability to process orders and maintain shipping commitments during Prime Day. Meanwhile, workers at San Fernando's fulfillment facility outside Madrid are engaging in a three-day strike to gain more favorable contract. So they may find themselves without a job, but I guess it sounds like they're unionized over there. Apple's introducing some new emojis that will include a superhero and more hair options. I don't use emojis very much. You guys use emojis? I don't. All right, last few articles here tonight. We'll get out of here. The Galaxy S8 has got a camera improvement in its latest update. So look for that update that's coming out as part of a patch in July. Also, a woman dropped her iPhone from 1,000 feet. She was in one of those open air biplanes and going on a little tour, and she tried to take a picture and dropped her phone. Well, she did find my iPhone and found it, and it was in perfect condition. She got real lucky. So this iPhone survived a 1,000 foot drop, and she did have it in a case. And she didn't have to buy a new phone. And there's an article that I need, how to stick with a fitness routine when you haven't seen progress. Well, the problem is I have to get back in the gym to see progress. And finally, Samsung expected to match the 2018 iPhone sizes with the Galaxy S10 lineup. So it should not be any surprise there. They're always copying each other. All right, let me go ahead and look here at, see if we got any emails that came in. No, we did not. So 1300's coming up. Want to hear from you. Tell me what you think. Where we need to go with the show, what you love, what you hate. Any comments are mostly appreciated. And actually greatly appreciated. I want to thank all of you for being here. Many of you have been here for since episode one or the low teens and all the way through episode 1,299. Check in. Tell me how long you've been listening to the show. I want to hear and let you hear how long you've been here. And been putting up with me destroying the English language and yawning on you and doing all kinds of stupid things over the years. But big thanks to Kirk for putting together the show today. I went through and I think I only found 4 or 5 additional articles. So we're pretty much synced up here, and that's good. But everyone else, thanks for being here. We'll see you on Thursday for the big 1300. And of course, Rita, thanks for hanging out with me tonight live. And Rita says, hey, the Boeing 77 uses the Pratt & Whitney PW400s or Rolls-Royce Trent 800 or General Electric GE90s. So three different motor types. And she says, oh yeah, the case took the impact on that 1,000 foot fall. Yeah. So the case took it. Yeah. That's good sales pitch right there. If I was the manufacturer of the case, I'd be like, let me pay you some money for that. All right. We actually made it about 2 hours this time. So about the right sweet spot. Yeah. Hey, this show is being recruited for some syndication, for some actual radio out in the Midwest. We're actually being courted to have this show be live on the radio, and I'm resisting change because I don't want to change the format of the show. I want them to give them it raw like it is now and not segment it into 20 minute segments with ads in between. That to me is no fun. So negotiation continue. We'll see where that goes. All right, everyone, thanks for being here. geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter @geeknews. I want to hear from you. We look forward to bringing the show on Thursday. Then we're going to have a 2-show break. And then I'll be back after I'm out and I'm going to be in Philly. So I've gotten some recommendations on which cheesesteaks. We're not going to go to the two that are always battling out. I've got some advice from some folks to go some different ones. But I haven't been in Philly in probably 22 years or maybe 23 years. So if you get any suggestions, we're not gonna have much downtime. I'll have a little time on Monday, and then I'm flying out Thursday afternoon and visiting with my mom in Michigan for a couple of days before I fly back here on Sunday. So anyway, 1300 is on Thursday. We'll see everybody next time. We take care. Aloha.